and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. Michael here being joined, as always, with your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Yep, we're trying out this more regular update thing, mainly because if we waited the 2 weeks to talk about everything, the next episode of Awesome Mania would be 4.5 hours long.
Yeah, not only that, but my schedule is also allowing us to do this as well. So when I work early in the morning, I'm able to do more stuff in the afternoon and the evenings for us. So, last night was All Out. We'll get to that in a moment. Many thoughts. But first, we're going to do a couple quick little news and notes here real quick. The first one, there had been some backstage chatter, which has recently been kind of 86'd by Vince himself, about the potential of NXT moving to potentially Tuesday nights on USA. One reason being how USA Network officials weren't really interested in the whole ratings war thing, and they just wanted NXT to be on its own. Plus, USA also has its own content that it wants to air. It is a big network, and also one of the big reasons why it was also put on Tuesday nights last week and this upcoming week was also kind of like a trial for USA, you know, claiming that it was the NHL playoffs as the reason for it, despite the fact that that ain't happened until Friday of this upcoming week. So there goes that one.
Well, what are they preempting on Friday?
I don't think they're preempting anything.
Because they usually have a fairly heavy night of programming on a Friday night. So maybe they see Wednesday night is the next most watched night. So they're moving the stuff from Friday to Wednesday.
Probably.
From Wednesday to Tuesday.
Either that or they're probably or getting ready to go into their next season for stuff.
There's that too, yeah.
Yeah, so
personally, I'd love to see NXT move to Tuesdays or Dynamite move to Tuesdays. Either one. That way I'm not having to watch 4 hours of wrestling on a Wednesday. I know Jericho was quite outspoken about the fact that they've lost the war. They should move, even though they were there first.
For quite a while, too.
But it's very interesting. And this showed up a lot at All Out last night as well, as the time of recording it's Sunday. And I'm missing Go-Go Ranger 5 on Shout Factory, which, let's be honest, I'm more interested in playing Marvel's The Avengers right now. But...
Hey, I've been playing a lot of Fall Guys Ultimate.
So. I know you have.
It's kind of cool having that availability again.
Right.
But about AEW All Out last night.
There were just shots being taken at WWE left, right, and center, right? Like, even Kip Sabian brought on a
thing that we'll talk about in the next thing.
He was like, subscribe to my Twitch or whatever. But it's very interesting that USA say they have no interest in this ratings war, but it's quite clear that WWE don't either, because they don't acknowledge that AEW exists. They just don't.
They just worry about themselves.
Yeah. It's the ratings war equivalent of a big guy fighting a really small guy and holding him at arm's length while one dude swings really, really hard and the big dude just like continues his conversation with somebody else, right? It's that cartoon graphic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like Tom and Jerry or something like that.
Yeah.
Actually, a better example is Scooby and Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah, not really, because that wasn't really a... They didn't fight amongst themselves, but...
Yeah, but you had it where Scrappy wanted to fight others, and they did the whole holding him back.
Well, no, because they were holding him back. I'm talking about, like...
Like
Marco Stunt fighting Luchasaurus. And Luchasaurus has just got one hand on Marco Stunt's forehead while Marco's running forward swinging and can't reach Luchasaurus. And Luchasaurus is just carry on talking to Jungle Boy. Right? Like...
Very true, very true. You brought up Twitch and Kipsavian. We'll segue right into that.
Yeah.
Because this is an interesting one where pretty much Vince has issued an edict this past week that talent can no longer engage with outside third parties, which would presumably include platforms like Cameo and Twitch. Big reason is that, you know, they want to...
Presumed big reason.
And based off of a statement that was submitted to, I believe, Pro Wrestling Sheets was, and I believe Fightful Select, was that they want, like Disney, they want to protect their brand because they spend all this time investing in, like, they own the name Braun Strowman, they own the name Alexa Bliss. They want to protect those entities and stuff like that.
Right, but what's to stop AJ Styles streaming under Alan Jones?
Yeah, I mean, we saw Paige yesterday. She just completely changed up her entire Twitch channel.
To stop. Adam Cole, for example. Like, Adam Cole's Twitch channel is The Chugs. That's not owned, but in fact... I have no problem with them saying don't use your wrestler name, right?
Yeah, your stage name.
Right. But what they're trying to say is don't engage with it at all. Don't even use your real names. We own those. What?
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, yesterday Paige, she redid her entire Twitch channel to her real name.
Soraya. Yeah.
And she's just like, they don't know my real name.
Right.
You know?
So that's the thing, right? Is Vince is saying the letter that was given to Talent basically said that they did. And... there's been many interesting reactions to this, most of which have been a bunch of massive middle fingers, including from the talent.
AJ was on his stream last night.
Yeah, AJ was on his stream last night. Cesaro streamed yesterday. Like, just... a bunch of craziness going on at the moment. And one of the reasons that WWE gave is they want to, they're kind of changing some of the ways they do stuff with the company. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're going to start like a WWE cameo. Right? Like, if you try to tell Lana she's not allowed on TikTok no more, she's going to quit. Right? Like,
yeah. Well, see, the thing is that it's not about stuff like TikTok, because I don't know much about TikTok, so please educate me here if I'm wrong. I don't think you can make money off of TikTok.
You can absolutely make money.
Oh, you can make money off of TikTok.
But the issue at hand isn't so much the making of money. It's controlling a message, right? The thing that was supposed to, this thing that apparently really got under Vince's skin is that several of the announcements of WWE talent having contacted COVID got out through streaming. Like, AJ mentioned that he got COVID during his streams, and like Lana appearing on the ex-Rusev stream. Stuff that's being said on Cameo, not necessarily being kayfabe or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder if they're just going to ban all social media.
I mean, let's be honest. At this stage of the game, kayfabe is dead.
Kayfabe is long dead, dude.
Yeah, it's been long dead for a while, and social media is really that nail in the coffin for it.
Well, I mean, it's quite interesting because, like, you see, the person I always say most is so, if people use, well, who's the most different on social media than they are in kayfabe? I'm like, right now, Sami Zayn. Because in character, he's a complete dickhead, right? But on social media, he's all about BLM and all about, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. He knows how to separate the two.
We're also, it has been stated when dealing with certain issues in the past by WWE that its employees and wrestlers are independent contractors. You can't own the name of an independent contractor.
Yeah.
You can't tell them not to engage with other things with contracts. That's the point of being an independent contractor. So, well, and there's been a lot of talk that if this is what it takes for wrestlers to unionize or whatever, then more power to them. But we'll see.
Yep.
Long story short, it's a really shitty fucking thing that Vince is trying to do.
Yeah, and it's one of those battles that he's probably not going to win.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
If he does, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. And then, of course, one more final note. I believe it was either yesterday or Friday. I think it was yesterday. AOP, Akam and Razor, were released from WWE. Apparently, I was just reading this before we started recording, that they are fully healthy, so no one's being released while injured.
Yeah.
But at the same time, since the release of Paul Heyman as, you know, executive director of Raw,
yeah,
any and whatever push that they would have gotten died that moment.
Yeah, they've also been noted as having some backstage behavioral issues, should we say.
Yeah. So
that's been a thing that has been noted about them.
Yeah. So
and we won't tell any personal stories on the air there.
Yeah. So with that, we're gonna hop right into AEW All Out. Ben's already
faced. We'll talk about this before the recording. Mike said, yeah, do some news notes. We're going All Out, you know, we'll do the sizzle before the steak. And I went, let me quickly Google, what is the name of the shittiest steak? That should give you some clue as to what I'm going to say about All Out.
So you had two pre-show matches. You had Joey Janela with Sonny Kiss defeating Serpentico with Luther in 7 minutes, 35 seconds. And then you had
a match that was added on Wednesday.
Yeah. And then you had Private Party take on the Dark Order.
No. I'm not done with that yet.
Uh-oh.
In a match that was added on Wednesday. The pre-show for All Out started at like 6:30 on YouTube. All Out finished post midnight on the East Coast. And they added another match on Wednesday.
Yeah. And the opening match for All Out was actually moved from the buy-in.
Yeah. After a fucking social media explosion.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment because there is something else that I read in regards to that match, but we'll get to that match in a moment. You also had Private Party take on the Dark Order's Alex Reynolds and John Silver. And of course, Private Party would pick up the victory in 10 minutes, 25 seconds. To which then brings us to the main card. And I believe the Private Party Dark Order tag team match was added yesterday.
Pretty much, yep.
Because the first match of the main card, which went 10 minutes even, was Big Swole defeating Britt Baker in the tooth and nail match. And the reason it got bumped from buy-in to the main card, per Tony Khan in the post-media scrum, was because after he saw the footage, he wanted it on the main card and not on the buy-in.
Weird, because it was shitty.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Let me set you a scene. The year is 2020. It's February. There's this thing floating around the news called COVID-19. It's a pandemic, they're saying. Everyone's going to have to lock themselves away, they're saying. It's going to be the end of professional sports, they're saying. Fast forward 7 months, September 2020. Wrestling has continued. But we've not had crowds. We've not had people in attendance. And then, All Out 2020. The first pay-per-view in 9 months from any major wrestling company with actual fans in attendance. The main card begins, and the first thing we do is cut to a match that happens off-site. Who booked this? Adding to that, the fact that they tried to make this a cinematic match along the lines of like the Swamp match or the Boneyard match, right? Because it took place in Britt Baker's dentist's office. The tone of this match was all over the place. The reason things like the Boneyard match and the Swamp match worked is because you'd had a consistent build-up, you'd had a consistent theme, and a consistent feeling, right?
Yeah.
The build-up to this match has been a freaking mess, mainly because of Britt's injury, if we're honest, right? And given what happened in the filming of this, I'd be kind of surprised he wasn't still injured and they were just trying to film around it.
Actually, that's what they did confirm. She wasn't 100%, so they actually wouldn't, because they've been building up to this moment.
That doesn't explain the vicious tonal shifts, right? Like, it starts with Big Swole pulling up to the thing with the referee, and he's like, are you sure this is the place? He's like, you damn Skippy. And you're like, okay, last time someone said anything like that, it was Roman Reigns saying suffering succotash, and everyone took the piss out of him for a year and a half. Then it goes inside. She assaults Reba, the receptionist. And then she goes into further in, and it starts going like, there's dentist chairs with blood all over them, and there's like this weird darkness, and they're filming Baker like she's this psychotic fiend. And then it cuts into a comedy match, and you're like, Why are you doing this thing of like trying to show like Britt Baker is completely snapped by murdering her patients and all this, and then have Big Swole throw Reba in a dumpster for her to show up later with a banana peel on her head.
Not only that, but the beginning, even before you got to the dark part with the blood on the patient chair and stuff like that, you had Reba, who goes by Rebel.
Yeah.
Like, she's trying to do, like, this fake accent, trying to make believe it's not her, and not trying to make eye contact with Big Swole and handing the clipboard to her. And it was like, right off the bat, it just did not feel right. And then it felt like, in a way, that when you got to that bloody room, that they tried to shift it back to what they probably meant it to be, and then it just got lost.
And then... The match continues, right? And the match ends. There's a moment in this match, legitimately, where Britt Baker has Big Swole pinned to a chair and is trying to put a drill through her head. Not a dentist's drill, like an impact screwdriver drill. And that would only be the second most heinous thing that happened on the show. And then when that doesn't work, Reba comes back with the banana peel on her head and tries to stab Big Swole with a syringe full of Novocaine, which Big Swole then gets and stabs Britt Baker in the leg, right? Which incapacitates Britt Baker to the point where Big Swole can put like a general anesthesia mask on her, I guess. And that's the end of the match, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not... I'm not sure how these people think Novocaine works. Novocaine is a local anesthetic. Do you know what that means?
It's essentially like a numbing agent.
Yeah. It numbs a very small part of your body.
I mean, I've had to use Novocaine a couple times before.
Right, because you had your braces and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But, like, stabbing someone in the leg with a syringe full of Novocaine would give them a dead leg at best, right? It wouldn't incapacitate them to the point where you could pin them down and they wouldn't be able to stop you.
I mean, I can understand getting, like, the stab in the leg, and you get that shock of like, oh shit, I just got stabbed in the leg. And then, like, so you have that shock moment, but yeah, not to the point where it incapacitates you.
It just, this match was all over the place. It had some real, real dodgy acting, real dodgy.
If this is what Tony, if it's what Tony says is true, and that he saw this beforehand and decided that this was great and it had to be on the main card, maybe use it as filler, but not the way to open your show.
Definitely not the way to open the show. The second match should have opened the show.
Yeah,
instead providing Mike a segue.
Yeah, which is the Young Bucks taking on Jurassic Express of Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, which would see the Young Bucks defeat Jurassic Express in 14 minutes and 50 seconds. This was a match that was like technically added on Wednesday, but really announced like 2 weeks ago. You just didn't know who was wrestling in the match until this past Wednesday.
Yeah.
But you know, Young Bucks, Jurassic Express, you know, pretty decent match. I remember you telling me that they were that the Bucks were healing it up.
Yeah, there were some proper heel Young Buck stuff going on in this match. Like proper old school heel Young Bucks. It was quite interesting to see. Wasn't the greatest match, not going to lie. But I can say that about literally every match on this card. But it definitely continued this. What's the word I'm looking for? Because it's not really a storyline per se. It definitely continued the descent of the Bucks towards being heels. They were like flat out mocking Jungle Boy Luchasaurus at one point. They attacked Marco Stunt on the outside. It was proper heel Young Buck stuff.
Yeah. Then next up, you had Lance Archer winning the 21-man casino battle royal by eliminating Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
Archer is now, I guess, the number one contender to the AEW World Championship. Moxley.
Yeah.
This
was the point I knew MJF wasn't winning.
Yeah.
That's the problem with doing a casino battle royale earlier in the night that affects the outcome of your main event. Also, you can tell how desperate they were for content this year, because the casino battle royale has always been on the pre-show before.
Yep. And then and it should be noted that it should be noted that the Joker, the one person who wasn't the wild announced,
card, yeah.
Yeah, was Matt Sydal.
Yeah, and he had a weird slippy moment, but it happens. There was a lot of reports coming out of
the humidity.
That the humidity was flat out killing people.
Yeah, Ambrose actually...
What ended up being, like a 7-hour show?
Yeah, Ambrose actually admitted in the post-scrum that he sweated through 4 shirts.
Wow.
Because of how humid it is.
Yeah. You mean Moxley?
Yes, Moxley. Yeah. My bad, yeah.
But this was crazy again. They did some good character work in this one, some really good character work in this one. Like Sean Spears not getting straight in the ring, showing he was a bit more clever than that. They continued the best friends, proud and powerful feud really well. So when Lance Archer came down, Jake came down with him and had the bag over his shoulder, and they were putting over the fact that there was a snake in the bag, right? And then you got to the final two, and suddenly out of nowhere, I think it was Shivani. It was either Shivani or Taz brings up that Eddie Kingston's deathly afraid of snakes. And then Jake, this is moment where Lance Archer stood on the apron. Eddie Kingston sat on the top rope with both of his legs on the outside, and he's fighting Lance Archer. And Jake the Snake undoes the top of the bag, and rather than pulling the snake out, just wibbles the bag in Eddie Kingston's direction. It was so obvious there was nothing in the bag. It was so obvious there was nothing in the bag. To the point where like Eddie Kingston just kicked the bag at one point, and no one reacted. There was a really nice moment where Lance Archer and what's his name? The Brock Lesnar ripoff.
Brian Cage?
Yeah, that guy. Faced off. There was a really nice moment where that happened. They just big hossed each other for a while. They killed Darby Allin again. They hit Darby Allin. They then got a body bag out, filled it with thumbtacks, put Darby Allin in the body bag with the thumbtacks and just threw the body bag. Nice to know Darby Allin doesn't have a spine. Yeah, it was just a lot of... Again, not great match.
It's a battle royal. I mean, it's...
Right, but you can do good battle royals, right? This was an average battle royal.
Yeah.
Like, it was... There was... how do I put it? Like I said, between it kind of... And this is a problem we've had with the Casino Battle Royale in the past, right? Is it's always telegraphed the finish of the world title match, right?
Yeah.
Like when Hangman won the first one, you knew Jericho was winning against Omega, right? Like, you just didn't know how. It's been between that and the fact that they used it more to develop storylines than actually worry about putting on a good battle royal. It was at best an average battle royal, but it was good for other reasons, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. But really gonna have to talk about this. Matt Hardy defeating Sammy Guevara in the Broken Rules match that should have ended in a no contest. So let's just throw this out there. In the match, they're on this scaffolding, and Matt takes a spear from Guevara, which was supposed to hit tables, and they cleared the tables, and Matt hit his head pretty flush on the concrete.
From about 15 feet.
Yeah. Aubrey calls the X symbol right away. Dr. Samson comes over, and now this is where Tony is talking, because this is what he said in the post-scrum. Mm-hmm. Tony made the decision to pause the match. Not call it off. Pause it. And then once Matt regained consciousness, which he still wasn't all there, probably still isn't right now, he continued the match to where you got the spot where Matt threw Guevara off through the one spot in Daly's place.
Yeah.
Rebby has blasted AEW on Twitter about this.
Yep.
Tony is claiming that Matt has cleared his CT scan and MRI and does not have a concussion, but Rebby has said that's bullshit.
Yep.
And that Matt 1,000% has a concussion and that he's still in the hospital because he needs more CT scans.
Yeah, they're reporting that... reporting that he's going to be at Dynamite on Wednesday, right? And Meltzer and his crew are reporting that Matt has been released from hospital. That doesn't necessarily mean he hasn't rechecked himself in. And then just, I don't know, like, it's been weird, man. Like, now I'm going to be... very, very candid here. I didn't watch All Out live. I was watching season one of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Because I love that show. I've just started watching it. It's great. But I watched it this morning through legal means. All of you out there. But what I did do is I would be getting updates from Mike. He'd be sending me like things off Twitter and various other things. And I just remember first I got sent the Matt Sydal Shooting Stars press botch. And then you sent me this. And I said, what was it I said? Are they going to have any more career-threatening botches at this show, or are we done yet? And then you messaged me, oh, they let the match restart, by the way. And I was like, what?
Yeah, and then you actually sent me the tweet from WWE Creative Humor.
Yeah.
That said, a match ended with one person being drugged and stabbed with a syringe. A match ended with two wrestlers taking crazy falls and going to the hospital. And then it goes on. This match can end if one person drowns the other. We're thankful PG stops Vince McMahon from being able to do this stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're billing Matt for Dynamite.
They are billing Matt as being a Dynamite.
We'll see if it happens.
Understandably so. The doctor is taking some flack here. I mean, the best bit I've seen so far is the fact that someone photoshopped Dr. Nick Riviera from The Simpsons into it.
One of the things that's really kind of disturbing in a way is like Doc Samson, who used to be the doctor for WWE, you know, gets to Matt immediately. And, you know, they're trying to talk to Matt. They're trying to, you know, revive him, make sure he's okay. And like you see Matt obviously getting up, trying to fight Sammy, and they're like holding him back. But then in a way you see Doc kind of help Matt walk to where he needs to get to finish the match.
Yeah.
And that's something that should be criticized. It's like you kind of helped him get to where he needed to go.
Not only did you let him get... Now, if where he needed to get to was the middle of a ring so he could lay there and get covered, that's one thing, right? Because there's no additional risk there. It's just Matt laying down.
Yeah.
Right? Well...
Well, from Broken Rules match, the actual rules was Last Man Standing.
Please let me finish what I'm saying, Mike. Yep. My point was, if that was to be the finish, then that's one thing. But this was a Broken Rules match. So it can't end that way. It was Broken Rules basically being Last Man Standing.
Yeah. And then I know storyline-wise...
everything in fucking AEW... has to have a stupid name attached to it, right? You can't just call it a Last Man Standing match. And the finish was them going like 20 feet up a fucking scaffolding.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Storyline-wise, I think Matt was supposed to win anyways.
Yeah, he was, because if he didn't, he was...
He was going to leave AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no contest would have declared no winner, so Matt didn't have to leave AEW. I mean, it just booked itself right there. I didn't lose. We both lost. What now? You know? It was a draw. But, I mean, I personally hope Matt's okay. Obviously, he's probably not right now, but I hope he gets better.
And he's not.
Yeah. But that should not have finished at all with the spot with Guevara going down off the scaffolding. That it should have just ended right there when Matt hit his head. So. And then next matchup is Hikaru Shida defending the AEW Women's World Championship against Thunder Rosa from NWA, which would see Shida retain in 16 minutes and 57 seconds.
Yeah, a lot of people online were raving about this one. I don't get it, personally. It was okay. Which, given some of the matches that you've gotten out of AEW Women's Division recently, is a steak compared to their sizzle. But, do you know what this match really hit home for me?
What?
At least the WWE women's titles look good. Because the AEW one doesn't. I'm sorry. And the NWA women's title looks like they bought it at a Toys R Us. It literally looks like a toy belt. The toy AEW world title looks better than that title.
Yeah. And it's also just very tiny. Like I remember when we actually got to see it up in like live in person at the inaugural Dynamite episode in DC. And like we saw the belt and it was like, yeah, that worked with
Riho.
Riho, yeah. But when it went on the Nyla Rose, man.
She couldn't even put it around her wrist.
Yeah. So
everything about this match has bugged me since day one, right? The fact that there are deserving women on their own roster, the fact that just everyone's been ignoring the fact that there are so many women on the AEW roster that are doing nothing. Right. I can understand why you'd want to cross promote with NWA. I get that. I really do. But this is supposed to be your... I mean, from the length, I guess, we can tell that it's supposed to be their version of WrestleMania, at least. I don't know. And I guess this is where we're going to talk about it. Good old JR.
Yeah.
At one point in this match, turns around and says, Hikaru Shida, or just Shida as he calls her, because I don't think he can pronounce the word Hikaru, is going to have a wardrobe malfunction. Or is it at least just me hoping that? This is not the first time he said something incredibly problematic on air. It's time to just let him go, man. I loved JR back when he was doing his thing in the Attitude Era, but ain't the Attitude Era anymore. He's constantly putting down the women's wrestlers, being sexist towards them. He's constantly being racist, making comments about the Chinese and Japanese wrestlers. He's constantly getting people's names wrong. He's constantly being combative with his other cast, his other commentators. It's just time to...
Remember the build to All Out last year?
Honestly, with Cody and
with Cody and Shawn Spears.
Yeah.
Put JR in that role.
Yeah.
JR would be so much better away from
That was only a year ago.
I know. Get JR away from the commentary.
How have they torpedoed Shawn Spears' career so fucking hard from there?
Yeah. But still, like, take JR off of commentary and put him into that role. Have him be the one-on-one interviewer for those type of things. Because when he did the stuff with Shawn and Cody, magic. Like, you had really great interviews. Do that with JR. And get him out of the announce booth.
Yeah. You know. Speaking of the announce booth, it was nice to have Excalibur back.
Yes.
His has been a voice that had been much missed from AEW TV.
Yeah.
And I hope that he sticks around. I can understand why he took himself off TV for a while, given everything that happened. But it's good to have him back.
Yeah. It's a voice that's needed.
Yeah.
When you have two guys from the Attitude Era there. Next up, you had the 8-man tag team match for Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and the
Hang on a minute. Hang on. I want to address that for a minute.
Yeah.
Shivani is nowhere near as bad as JR. I like the role Shivani plays in the booth currently because he contributes, right? But then he turns to Excalibur and goes, "The hell was that?" And Excalibur explains it to him, right?
Yeah.
I like that, right? And he's not combative about it, which is the problem that JR has.
Yeah. I think what it's been is that because Excalibur's probably been away for a while, and it's just been really Tony and JR.
Yeah.
It's probably that vibe that you get from those two guys together, whereas now that you have Excalibur back and you have that voice who is more youthful and knows a lot of these guys and it's going to build up these guys. Tony feeds off of that better, obviously, than JR.
For sure, for sure.
Which is always a great thing. But yeah, going on, 8-man tag. Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and the Natural Nightmares of Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall defeated the Dark Order of Brody Lee, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson. So Dark Order went 0-2 for the night. In 15 minutes and 10 seconds.
So, if we are to be believed, there needs to be believed, this was the last date on Matt Cardona's per-appearance contract, right?
Yeah. Because he was supposed to do, like, 5 appearances.
Right. So, they brought him in. And all he did was play second fiddle to Cody's bullshit. That's all he did. Other people who have debuted, like Matt Sydal, Brian, Brock Lesnar wannabe. I mean, he used Brock's finishing move. Come on, people. Made an explosion. They made a statement, right? Matt Cardona showed up, saved Cody 1 week. The very next week, Cody gets put out of action forever. And then he's just kind of labored in mediocrity.
Yeah. And so next up, we have the AEW World Tag Team titles on the line as FTR are your new champions as they defeated Kenny Omega and Adam Page in 29 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Long match.
Longest on the card.
You know how I said this to you before? You remember when you watched Kenny and Hangman versus the Bucks?
Yeah.
And it was super long, but it didn't feel long.
Yeah, it was paced really well.
Well, not just that, but it had a lot of other stuff as well, right? It had all the storyline going into it. It was a much more interesting match, right? At least in my opinion, it was more interesting. It was what? 20... How long was that match?
The FTR Omega
Page. No. The Page Young Bucks match, like a 30-minute match, right?
Let me double check real quick. What pay-per-view was that one on?
It was Revolution.
Revolution. All right, give me one sec. Let me go back to Revolution.
Regardless of the fact, they'd done a really good job.
30 minutes, 5 seconds.
Okay, they'd done a really good job of building that match. So that when they went 30 minutes and 5 seconds, it didn't feel like 30 minutes and 5 seconds. Right?
Right.
On the other hand, this match went 29 minutes and 40 seconds and felt like it went an hour. It was way too long. And a lot of the build that they've been doing towards it, I don't know, it's felt a bit schizophrenic to me, right? Because they start building up Paige to be this loner, and then they start allying him with FDR, but then they're building up Kenny. Like, as far back as Revolution, they were teasing the fact that Kenny and the Bucks were going to turn on Hangman, right? But then all of a sudden, Hangman's the one that turns on them. But then at the end of this match, Kenny's about to waffle Hangman with a table. And then he doesn't, and he leaves, and he's issuing dictates to the Bucks. But yet at the same time, they've been kind of allying Hangman with FDR. But then FDR don't want anything to do. It's just like, you're trying too hard, right? The reason the Revolution match worked is there were good guys and there were bad guys, right? Like, the Bucks were the assholes.
Yeah, and one of the things I was reading before we recorded was that apparently the game plan is still to have Adam Page be the top babyface out of all of this.
And I'm sure they'll find a way to do it because he's Adam Page, right? But they could have done it completely differently.
Yeah. And apparently this is a long-term plan.
And that means that the eventual FTR Young Bucks match that's going to happen is going to be heel against heel.
Yeah.
Unless they turn FTR face as well. But I don't know how they're going to do that now that they've turned on Adam Page.
It's interesting because according to the thing is that when they first started AEW, the plan was it was going to be a long build leading to Adam Page. And they actually said that it may not be this year. It could be next year when it finally happens.
That's fine. But
how are you going to get there?
You've got to take the opportunities when they happen, right? No one's going to be sympathetic to someone that turns on his friends. Especially when 90% of the storytelling you're using to make Adam Page a face is happening on a YouTube show that gets a quarter of the viewership of your goddamn television program. Especially when you spend 20 minutes on your goddamn television program on a Dark Order promo that is 90% predilected on jokes from the goddamn YouTube show. You tell I'm angry about this.
Yes.
Regardless of the fact, there were some really good graps in this match. But yeah, just not. It wasn't the finest. It wasn't what they needed it to be. Right.
And that was Ben opening up a can of whoop ass on his thoughts on the whole BTE Dynamite thing. So, next up, you have the Mimosa Mayhem match.
Haterade.
Where the match can only be won via pinfall, submission, or by fully submerging your opponent into a vat of mimosa. And it would be Orange Cassidy defeating Chris Jericho after knocking him into the vat of mimosa within 15 minutes and 15 seconds. That happened. To which then leads us to the singles match for the AEW World Championship, where Moxley is banned from using the Paradigm Shift. And it would be Moxley retaining over MJF in 23 minutes and 40 seconds. That tells us how you feel about the match.
The match wasn't bad. Just the wrong result. MJF's whole cocky heel shtick doesn't work if he's got nothing to be cocky about. Right?
Yeah.
The thing that makes MJF annoying is he's cocky as fuck, but he can back it up. Right? Having him lose, it just doesn't. I don't know, man. I just, there are times when you look at someone and go, it's their time to win the title, right? When Moxley won, it was his time to win the title, right? This was MJF's time to win the title. Because now, like, MJF should not have lost until he lost the belt. Right, because that makes his thing even more what's the word I'm looking for? It makes it even more infuriating when he's right. Could you imagine him being like, hi, I'm MJF and I'm better than you, and holding up the title and go, and I can prove it, like, yeah. It just, I don't know. And I'm not saying that because I'm an MJF fanboy, even though I kind of am. I'm saying it because it's objectively the right thing. Where does MJF go from here? His entire character for the last 9 months has been, I am undefeated, but they won't give me a title shot.
Well, he's going to go with the whole Moxley cheated thing.
Yeah,
and Wardlow screwed up because of Wardlow's screw up, Moxley was able to hit the Paradigm Shift. So he's going to use that.
Right, but that doesn't change the fact he lost. Right? Yeah.
So let me ask you something. Because this is a segue into something.
All right.
SummerSlam or All Out?
TakeOver?
Yeah, but there's a reason why I'm asking this question specifically.
Can I give you a swerve answer?
Sure.
Payback.
Okay, I'll take that. The reason I ask you that question, Ben, is because before All Out took place this past week, Tony Khan was boasting how Double or Nothing was better quality than WrestleMania. That it was a better pay-per-view and that WrestleMania couldn't hold a candle to it. Let me ask you something.
Let me remember what was on Double or Nothing quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, that's a bunch of horseshit.
Now,
in fact, this might be... I'm going to go on record and say this might be AEW's best pay-per-view of all time, just because there was no Cody.
Yeah. Well, see, but here's the reason I bring this up. When the pandemic hit, WWE had, what, 2 weeks, maybe three, to readjust everything that they had to do for WrestleMania? Mm. And Double or Nothing had 2 months to do any potential changes that they had to do their pay-per-view?
Yeah.
So when you look at it from the essence of, you had 2 months to actually fix whatever you needed to fix going into your pay-per-view, to where WWE had like 2 to 3 weeks. I think WWE did pretty damn good.
Well, he's also like, here's the other thing. The only thing they didn't really have time to fix on Double or Nothing was Britt Baker getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right? So they subbed Penelope Ford in. They should have just canceled the match, but that's me. Still doesn't make it a good event, right? For example, do you have the WrestleMania card?
I can get it up real quick. Yeah, give me a sec.
Please do. Like, I'm going over the Double or Nothing card.
All right.
Like, Best Friends against Private Party was okay. The ladder match was garbage. MJF against Jungle Boy was the best match on the card. Cody against Lance Archer was kind of boring. Statlander against Penelope Ford should never have happened. Dustin Rhodes against Shawn Spears was a joke. Hikaru Shida defeated Nyla Rose in an okay match. Moxley beat Brody Lee
in a match.
In a match.
Yeah.
And then it was the Stadium Stampede match, which was good. Apart from the whole Shad Gaspard thing.
Yeah. So I got WrestleMania up. So night one had Cesaro defeat Gulak. Bliss and Cross defeat the Kabuki Warriors to become the women's tag team champions.
Uh-huh.
Elias defeating King Corbin. Becky retaining over Shayna Baszler. Sami Zayn retaining over Daniel Bryan. John Morrison defeating Jimmy Uso and Kofi Kingston to retain the tag team titles in the triple threat ladder match.
All right. So let's compare that. Triple threat ladder match versus the casino ladder match. The triple threat ladder match was way better.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Night two had a women's title match too, right?
Yeah, they had Charlotte defeating Rhea Ripley to become the NXT Women's Champion. And it also had Bayley defeat Lacey Evans, Naomi, Sasha Banks, and Tamina in the Fatal 5-Way Elimination match for the SmackDown.
Of those four matches, if you include Hikaru Shida and Nyla Rose, right?
Yep.
Hikaru Shida versus Nyla Rose was third for me.
Yeah.
Number one being Charlotte and Rhea, obviously, because that match was phenomenal.
Yeah. Also notable matches from night one was Kevin Owens defeating Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman defeating Goldberg.
Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins was better than every other match on Double or Nothing, except MJF Jungle Boy, which was about the same, level.
And then, of course, you had the first cinematic match with Taker and AJ, the Boneyard.
Way better than anything on.
Yeah. And then
Double or Nothing.
And then when you look at Night 2, Liv Morgan versus Natalya, Charlotte versus Rhea, Aleister Black defeating Bobby Lashley, Otis defeating Ziggler, Edge defeating Randy Orton, Street Profits defeating Angel Garza and Austin Theory to retain the Raw Tag Team titles, the aforementioned Bayley match. The Fiend defeating John Cena in the Firefly Funhouse match. Drew McIntyre defeating Brock Lesnar. And then, obviously, the dark match on the Raw, Drew Show. McIntyre yeah. beating Big Show. So, I think for what WWE had to do on the fly, they did a damn good job with their pay-per-view. And I actually was entertained. And I think you're well entertained by it, too. Mm-hmm. So, it's like...
There were a few duds on... WrestleMania, don't be wrong.
Yeah.
But percentage-wise, I enjoyed WrestleMania more than I enjoyed Double or Nothing.
And I think this is where this massive rift is that, you know, we talked about this beginning of the show. NXT doesn't mention AEW. WWE doesn't mention AEW because WWE is so focused on themselves and putting out their own product.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're probably paying attention to what AEW does because, yeah, there's some ideas here or there that they can take and maybe even make it better. But Tony going after WrestleMania, not a smart move, especially when WrestleMania was better than Double or Nothing. And then doing the whole thing with Kip Sabian on the interview where he was promoting the Twitch to take the shot at them. Like, they just got to stop and just focus on themselves.
So to give you an idea, if you include the pre-shows, there was 11 matches on All Out. There were 8 matches on SummerSlam. Right?
Yeah.
Of the SummerSlam matches, there was only really a lot of them were disappointing. Don't get me wrong. Like Fiend Bray Wyatt was disappointing. Fiend versus Braun Strowman was disappointing. Drew Randy was okay. It was better than I expected. Asuka, Sasha, Asuka, Bayley were both good. Rollins against Dominic was good. Mandy against Sonya was a dumpster fire, but there were extenuating circumstances there. Street Profits and against Andrade and Angel Garza, And Apollo Crews is MVP. Right? The only match I would go out of my way to rewatch. That's the question I ask myself, right? Which one of these shows would I rather rewatch? SummerSlam or All Out? Right?
Yeah.
The answer is SummerSlam. Mainly because it's not 7 hours long.
That's a good reason right there.
Now, bear in mind, you're talking to someone who watches Dynamite every week, right? I don't care about Serpentico and Joey Janela. I don't care about Private Party in the Dark Order. Sadly, didn't care about Big Swole and Britt Baker. Again, we'll give that one the extenuating circumstances. This one, because one of the combatants was barely mobile. Right? That doesn't excuse the tone problem in the match. Right? You could have executed that better. Right? Mandy and Sonya get a pass because they weren't pre-recorded. right? Young Bucks. In fact, of all the matches on this show, the one I would probably go back and rewatch is Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express. Probably my favorite match on the card. And this is a match that, this is a card that has a match between three of my four favorite wrestlers in FTR and Adam Page. I love the storyline they've been telling with Adam Page. I absolutely love it. I ain't sitting through 30 minutes of that again. And there are some very what, and we didn't talk about this when we talked about this match, right? The fact that I'd like to point out to the people at home, I was just rubbing my face right there, right? The fact that the commentators have to point out how unusual it is for AEW tag teams to use the tag rope, because it is specifically in FTR's contract that their matches must be contested under normal tag team rules. And the fact that Adam Page took a spike pile driver, kicked out, took a second spiked pile driver, and Excalibur was surprised he got pinned. You might have buried that move there a bit, Excalibur. But yeah, it just, it's not. Just not.
Yeah, so.
Then again, you say that. All right, let me rephrase this. If I have to pick between the two, I wouldn't pick either of them. They both weren't very good. How's that?
All right, that's fair. So, with that, Ben, we have what type of did you ever find that Google search for the shittiest steak?
No, I didn't actually do it. It was a joke.
All right. Well, with that, Ben, maybe not Googling you, but where can the people find you on social media?
You can find my personal Twitter account at
Bob T. Goldfish.
And you can find the Twitter account of Awesome Mania's sister show, Voices from the Grid, over at
VFTG_PR.
And for those of you who haven't picked up on it by now, Voices from the Grid is X75 Productions Power Rangers review show.
Which debuts tomorrow.
Debuts tomorrow. God, it's so... Dude!
All that work that we've been putting in with Sasha and Brian is finally coming to see the light of day.
As I was about to say, Mike is the main host of that. And then there's like three rotating hosts, which are myself, Sasha Kaplan, who you've heard doing breaks for us a couple of times, and our good friend, Mile High Brian Massey. And we review Power Rangers episodes and other stuff that you'll have to tune in to find out about. Yep. And speaking of Power Rangers, every 2 weeks I release a column over at
txhdhockey.com/bens-journey,
which is, long story short, it's me chronicling my trip through the many seasons of Power Rangers. There is a dearth of content for me to watch since I've only been into Power Rangers for about 18 months at this point. And I've only watched like 13 seasons. And I'm getting caught up on myself at this point. So I need to start watching Power Rangers again. So I get to go back to start watching Mystic Force here soon. The next one to come out is is a special guest column. The next one I'm writing is Time Force, because I'm actually in the middle of writing that right now, because real life came up and I didn't have time to write over the last 2 weeks, mainly because I was playing Marvel's The Avengers. That's a lie. I'm joking. I wouldn't blow off for a goddamn video game. I've asked my friend Brian to step in and do a special column, and he'll step in, and then we'll pick up with Time Force right after that. And then one that I'm really looking forward to writing, which is Wild Force, because I don't think Wild Force gets the love it deserves sometimes. That's just me.
Yeah.
Today I wrote about a bit about Time Force that even made me go cross-eyed. So we'll see how that goes over. I will probably edit it. And you can find me and friend of the channel, Jordan, Mr. NNJ Johnson, during the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV. This is the
longest and most rambling outro I've ever done. Congratulations, All Out. You broke me.
Well, it's also a special moment. We are having our Voices from the Grid debut tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm super happy. I'm super happy that we're finally going to get to start releasing season one. We thought we were done, but then we had an idea, which added about 2 days of production time.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. But yeah, that's me.
Yep. And then, of course, you can find me on the Twitters at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And, of course, I've been Twitch streaming. I've had the ability to do it lately. So you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. Just hit the subscribe or the follow button so you know when I'm going live. And I also post on Twitter when I do as well. And then everything else for me is on txhthockey.com. And obviously for the show /AwesomeMania. So with that, Ben, take us out.
It has been a hell of a couple of weeks. And I finally got to watch Bill and Ted 3. Oh, God, I love that movie. I made the mistake of watching Jane, Silent Bob reboot the night after, which wasn't nearly as good. Which is weird from a guy with a 37 tattooed on his arm. Still good, just not as good as Bill and Ted 3. But Bill and Ted 3 hit a chord, you know? And if you haven't seen it yet, please do. Because with everything that's going on in the world, sometimes you just need a feel-good movie, you know? And that being said, guys, scouts, and online pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until next time, we will see you ringside.
Peace.
Hi, Sasha Kaplan here. I'm one of the co-hosts of an awesome new podcast called Voices from the Grit, where besides hearing my lovely voice, you can also hear the many opinionated musings of Ben, Mike, and Brian. Together or apart, Voices from the Grid promises to be an episode-by-episode discussion of Power Ranger history. Come check us out at thxthockey.com/VFTG and follow us on Twitter at VFTG_PR to learn more. Watch for the release date for season 1. So grab your morphers and may the power protect you.